love dies young, and there's no resuscitation. Once it's done, no regeneration. It's a losing game.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Jesse filling in this afternoon for Brian. Happy Thursday, Jesse. We didn't get to
Happy
that
Happy Thursday, man. Yes. It's 4 days until pitchers and catchers report.
Yeah, and today's the NBA trade deadline as well. So it was a little difficult almost to get some show prep done because there's some blockbuster trades going on in the NBA right now.
Yeah, my wife's like, you know what happens? My wife said, you know what happens 4 days? I was like, yeah, pitchers and catchers. It's the beginning of baseball. Yeah.
Well, right? there's a meeting. There's a lockout still for MLB. So the MLB owners and players are going to be meeting.
Might be a lockout for me Saturday. If I don't answer that question correctly next time.
Yeah, next time. But. It's weird when all of a sudden pitchers and catchers report on the same day as Valentine's Day.
It's no innuendo there meant at all.
No, not at
also,
all.
Also, Dom and Kruger are getting back together again.
We're having a Valentine's
Day
special. Yes.
Love it.
The new 5 o'clock happier hour is going to be broadcasted here on these airwaves, 92.7 Devil Radio, 92.7 and WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, and the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM in Waukesha. We're going to be having that expanded 3 hours of the Devil's Advocates returning on Monday, Valentine's Day, which, as you point out, Jesse, same day pitchers and catchers report. And I'm excited. We got like a couple minutes left here, I believe, of the NBA trade deadline. So the Milwaukee Bucks just got a great center from the LA Clippers. I'm looking Sergei Ibaka, I want to say. I don't know if I know.
He won't be offended. He's not listening
last name
yet.
Not yet. He's got to at least move. He's got to move here from LA first. But looking for some big guy support in the middle for the Bucks, which I'm thrilled about. They've been playing some pretty good basketball lately, and defending that championship is going to be difficult because the Brooklyn Nets just made a pretty all-star trade. So we'll see what happens there. But diving back to Wisconsin politics, Jesse, because we sometimes go down tangents like that and give a little sports update.
It's right there in the title,
man. It's there in the name. That's why Brian and I set up the show this way, because, you know, train of thought gets lost sometimes, and you think about what happens in 4 days. And outside of Valentine's Day, there's a number of things going on. But here in Wisconsin, we got the headline, State Representative Timothy Rantham running for governor, joining this crowded primary. And I'm asking the question to the audience. 844-967-2789. What is it about Rebecca Clayfish's candidacy that led to this crowded field? Because,
or phrase it slightly differently, you know, on Valentine's Day when Rebecca looks in the mirror and she asks herself, why doesn't he like me? What's the answer? What's the answer to that question? Why doesn't he like her?
Well, we got Annie texting in. Annie's saying maybe the former guy doesn't like her so much because she's a female. And I don't know about that, Annie, because it's not like he likes Marjorie Taylor Greene. He likes there's plenty of female Republican candidates out there. He liked Elise Stefanik and backed her in the ousting of Liz Cheney as the number three in position in the U.S. House of Representatives. So it's not like Trump has an axe to grind necessarily against female politicians.
As I'm aware, there's no problem with her knees bending, so he should be on board with everything in general. There's got to be something it's the $1 million question. There has to be some specific reason for this.
Yeah, and maybe this isn't being aired out in the public yet, but I'm fascinated to know. And for the conservatives out there, are you happy about a crowded field now? Because this was Rebecca Clayfish was going to kind of be barreling right towards defeating current Governor Tony Evers, because everybody knows the midterm, it's a hard slate for Democrats this year. It's what everybody in the media and the political analysts are saying is going to be a hard-fought re-election campaign for the current governor. And Rebecca Clayfish wasn't going to have to spend any time or resources fighting off primary candidates. And now she's got two of them. One of them, a former Marine, previously ran for U.S. Senate, wanted to run for U.S. Senate again this year, but Rojo is not retiring. He's running for re-election. So Kevin Nicholson's like, hey, I'll throw my hat in the governor's race then.
I asked at a McDonald's for Valentine's Day. She said no. Loser. Big loser.
Your New York accent could use a little work, buddy.
Yeah, well.
I could tell what you're trying to do there, but it was just a little off. I understood it. But a little bit of an update from this Republican primary, Jesse. We got some news out at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that these two candidates that were already in the field, Kevin Nicholson and Rebecca Clayfish, that they got some, you'd think they'd try to differentiate from each other in this primary, but there's a lot of things that just keep coming out where they kind of agree. So it's going to be a little bit difficult, but Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is saying that both Kevin Nicholson and Rebecca Clayfish would ban mask mandates in schools.
Which it goes to the heart of what absolute hypocrites Republicans are, you know, given any context, because they're constantly trying to castigate Democrats as being, you know, not in favor of local control. We want local control, unless we don't. And this flies in the face of local school boards and counties and municipalities deciding what's right for them, which, to be perfectly honest, from an epidemiological standpoint, they shouldn't have to in a pandemic. That really is a job for the federal government. But on the federal level, the Republicans said, this isn't a job for us. It's for the states. And on the state level, the Republicans said, this isn't a job for us. It's a job for localities. Now they're saying it's not a job for them either. It's a job for nobody.
Yeah, nobody. It's individual choice, Jesse.
They
don't want any form of government,
that's
regardless
how
of the size.
That's how viruses work. Yes.
Yes, because that is how pandemics are defeated, is just individual. As long as you depend on the individuals doing the right thing, not being able to do any other
drink
form
your orange
of
juice and
yeah, public yeah. mitigation for the virus. But it's also important to note, Jesse, that we haven't had a statewide mask mandate in like over a year in the state of Wisconsin because the Republicans
won't follow case law.
No,
is why?
Because those things
were actually established case law as being totally legit and legal.
That and the fact that the state Supreme Court had ruled that the Wisconsin legislature could remove it at any time from Governor Evers' mandate, but they didn't want to do that. So they just let it expire. And then we've gotten to this place where a lot of political capital has already been spent. And a lot of people who were really good about wearing masks throughout most of the pandemic are kind of the point where they're vaccinated and they're boosted. And they're like, well, it's not necessarily my problem anymore. And so mask mandates have kind of fallen to the wayside because from what I hear, everybody in Milwaukee, which recently implemented one, is kind of out of wearing the masks anyways. And they're complaining the fact that it's in place until the end of February. And same in Dane County, where some people are like, well, let's get rid of it already. And it's like it ends in 2 weeks. Why are you so content in trying to overhaul?
The next spike, and it will come, will be governed entirely on human behavior.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. We're going to be right back.